The one thing we're going to need to see much more of as we look to rebuild and bounce back from this pandemic is entrepreneurial growth and companies that are leading the way. The best way to support growth small cap companies is by creating the capital market conditions that are conducive to going out there and raising capital. Now, some of the best known examples of where this model is applied successfully are obviously AIM in London, Toronto's Stock Exchange and TSX Venture Exchange are currently home to hundreds of small and medium-sized companies, the ASX in Australia as well, a very good model. We tried the Altex many years ago, but that has been largely underwhelming so far. So we've assembled a formidable panel of small cap and capital market experts to discuss how we make things better for the entrepreneurs who aim for the moon and so often take investors with them. Leila Fareed, Group CEO of the JSE, Charles Savage, the CEO and founder of Easy Equities, one of the fastest growing retail equity trading platforms in the country. Stefano Marani, CEO of Renogen, an emerging producer of helium and liquefied natural gas, which listed on Johannesburg's Altex back in June of 2015, as South Africa's first listed alternative renewable energy company, and then in June last year on the ASX. So experience of both sides of the process. And small cap analyst Keith McLachlan, who runs one of the most popular financial blogs dedicated to small caps, smallcaps.co.za. He's also the fund manager of Alpha Wealth. Welcome and thanks for joining us, everyone. Now, Leila, the Australian experience, which you know very well, is obviously one that's worked. You've worked in Australia for many years. What was it that made ASX extremely friendly for small cap investors?
So, Michael, I think in order for a small, for any market, but particularly a small cap market to work, it's two sides of the coin that you need to be successful in. You need the investor appetite and the investor willingness to invest, and then you need enough products in a diverse set of sectors to create optionality. In the Australian market, the key difference, I would say, is that, A, there is a much larger retail participation in the market. As a general cultural norm, they have one of the biggest gambling cultures or gambling businesses in the world after China. And so there's a common phrase in Australia, have a go, mate. And so everyone has a go, and people are very well educated. Their financial literacy in betting, particularly in sports betting, and that overflows into the SME market, is very wide. That said, I wouldn't say that the South African market is particularly underwhelming when you consider that the Altex market, ironically, has one of the highest migration rates from the Altex or the minor board to the major board. So almost 30% of our listings have migrated from the minor board to the major board. We started off at about 1.7 billion in market cap when the Altex market opened in 2006, and it peaked in 2017 just over 20 billion. So I think all in all, it is a small market. It's a much smaller market than I think we see in Canada and in Australia. I do think we need to work on the retail participation rate. We've got largely an institutional base, and we need to affect either mandates or policy incentives, i.e. tax breaks for those investors who are investing. And we certainly have a number of plans in that regard. And we're very excited about what could potentially be a sub-Altex market.
Well, that's very interesting. We'll come back to that. Thanks for that introduction, Leila. And hopefully we will start having a go. I hate the fact that the Aussies are better than South Africans at anything, let alone investing. Charles, if we look at what made the ASX successful, to Leila's two points. Firstly, an extremely friendly participation environment for retail investors. And secondly, very easy for really small companies to list. $1 million market caps works for a listing over there. How do we achieve that here in South Africa?
I think that we've got to start by building a healthy retail sector, which Leila's already hinted at. The Aussies, the catalyst, interestingly, for Aussies' participation in the market was when they privatized their public assets. They told everyone, if you pitch up and open a stockbroking account, you'll get some shares. Now, South Africa's that opportunity is in front of us. It's obviously we've missed out on a few. There've been a whole lot of public enterprises that maybe we didn't want to own with hindsight, but would have been nice at the time. For us, the biggest barrier to entry has proven to being just owning your first share. And once you've owned your first share and you've experienced it, you start to engage, educate, and understand, and then you start to have a go, to put it in the Aussie's word. And so for us, that's where our focus is building that healthy retail sector. And then the second part, I think the listing environment in South Africa is very conducive for, there's nothing wrong with what the JSE does in attracting listed companies. I think perhaps the onus needs to shift more towards the CEOs of listed companies in the small cap sector to better unpack their story to the market. And as a CEO of a listed small cap, I can say this easily because I'm very bad at it. I'm very, as a small cap, as a small business, I focus 99% of my time on building the business and about 1% of my time on worrying about what my shareholders think of me. And that's, I think we do that badly. There isn't enough coverage. We don't drive enough coverage of our own companies. We don't tell our stories well enough. And when those stories are told, the market responds. And Stefano is a great example of that. I mean, that carte blanche insert that you had directly translated into flow. And all that did was just brought the two markets together. It's a retail channel with retail participation. He told his story in a very real, easy way to understand. And guess what happened? Liquidity straight after it. So for me, it's not just about building a retail capability. You also, the CEOs need to be better at unpacking and telling their story. And one of the things that I think is against us is that the world of small cap changes quickly. It's not like Naspers. To have an impact on Naspers' income statement is going to take significant events. In a small cap company, significant events can happen frequently. And so I think we should increase the frequency with which small caps talk to the market, because if there's more information flow more frequently, I think that we'll start to engage the investors and bring them back to a better understanding, and that'll bring us to a better flow.
On that point, there's a dearth of research coverage in the small cap sector as well. Keith, to bring you in on that point, it's an area that you specialize in, but there isn't a lot of research going around, and we see a lot of the bigger fund managers tend to stay away from this sector as well. So that leads to this lack of awareness or education about some of the stories in the sector.
Absolutely. Michael, let me unpack some statistics for you, and I am absolutely rounding. They're not exact, but they paint the picture. So first of all, about 80% of the market cap on the JSE is made up of the top 40 stocks. Now, that's only 40 individual companies. But you're sitting with the tail end of the JSE that's actually only making up 20% of its market cap, but it has the vast majority of listings. It has about 90% of the individual stocks listed there. Yet, if we compare the two markets, the large cap and the small cap one, the large cap portion of the market has over 1,200 fund managers playing in that space, or at least individual funds and mandates. Whereas in the small and mid-cap space, there are actually only 11. There might be 90% of individual listed companies, but there are only 11 individual fund managers, myself included. It's deeply underrepresented in terms of the assets under management in South Africa. It's sitting at below 2%. And that was a year or two ago when I measured it. My argument is it's in fact declined since then. So you're sitting with a large portion of investable options in this part of the market, and hopefully we can obviously get more over time. But how does one gain access to it? With the limited number of institutional routes into this market, and Charles and Leila's already touched on it, you really need retail participation in this portion of the market. Retail participation doesn't just bring liquidity, it brings price discovery. And in fact, it has a compounding effect that reaches across the entire market. Now, one of the barriers to entry for a retail investor is in fact coverage, the understanding and the knowledge of what's happening in this market. So if you shift this into the discussion, and I've touched on the buy side of the market, if you look at the sell side, the economics of covering, and sell side for those viewers listening in on this, you don't understand the difference. Buy side is effectively fund managers and asset managers. The sell side are the brokers, like Charles's Easy Equity sitting there. It's really the entry points for the retail into the market are touching sell side brokers. Now, the economics for covering and writing research and publishing investment ideas around small caps is distorted, because typically a brokerage earns money based on volume. That's how trade works. The bigger the trade, the more the brokes you earn. And hence, typically guys focus their business models and their economics towards, and their resources, and analysts are a resource. So when you get an analyst to write a research report, you've got to monetize that research report. Now, typically, research report in large liquid listed companies, whereas it may not be special nor unique because those companies are heavily covered, it will probably be easier to monetize that research.
And that is a big challenge, and one that isn't insurmountable, by the way. I think there are models partnering with financial media, for example, of getting research to market to a retail investor. Keith, I'd love for you to jump in. We'll come back to it, but I have to get to Steph just before the break. Steph, your experience is key here, because you listed on the Altex back in 2015. You've also listed on the ASX recently. What was the experience comparing the two? And obviously, they're completely different environments. What could we learn from your experience listing on the ASX and maybe apply here to the JSE?
So everything that that Keith said really resonates, because it was a lot of that data that went into our decision process. We obtained data from the JSE before making the decision to go to the ASX, specifically looking at how well the small caps were covered, because we needed to raise money for a project and the JSE wasn't open to us. We were listed, but fund managers just weren't there for the investment into the bulk of the project that we needed. So we needed to find an alternative source of capital. We explored all of the various exchanges internationally, and for companies of our size, ASX made the most sense. And it makes the most sense because if you look at the total capitalization of the ASX, 84% of the entire market cap of the ASX sits in companies with a market cap of less than 5 billion rand. The median is less than 1 billion rand, which meant that all of a sudden we were coming to an exchange where we were larger than the median. And that meant that we would get coverage, we would get liquidity. And it comes back to this whole concept that retail investors are there. Now, I agree with everything that's been said over here, but there was also something that was touched on a little earlier, and that's creation of tax incentives. And, you know, Keith, you've surmised it perfectly, because what you said was that we've got over 1,000 funds looking at the big guys, and we've only got 11 funds looking at the small guys. What we need to do is that we need to try and capture some of these monthly inflows that are coming from those 14,000 odd independent financial advisors who every single month are bringing more inflows into the exchange. But all of those inflows are going into the big portfolios. And they're going into the big portfolios because there are 1,200 asset managers to choose from. We need to get those into the small caps. We need to just capture some of that monthly inflow into the small caps. The minute that you do that, you create the liquidity, you create the incentive for research, and all of a sudden you make it sexy for day traders to come in and start punting the small caps.
We're talking about improving the environment for small caps in South Africa. Capital markets, a critical part of economic activity. You want to encourage risk-taking, you want to encourage entrepreneurship, and a way to do that is to create a seamless environment where retail investors in particular, as we're talking about, can go out and invest in smaller cap companies, high growth companies, and really start feeling like they have an ownership stake in the economy. That's an important part of the conversation in the South African context as well. I want to come back to the tax incentives though, Leila, as Steph was talking to and alluding to earlier. There are levers that one can pull to ensure that you start to attract a more retail type of investor. What sort of tax incentives is the JSE considering here and perhaps lobbying for if you were to take this to a Treasury or a SARS?
So there are a number of things that we could think about in engaging with the market, and it has to be a broad-based full marketplace that we are contemplating, not just an isolated policy drive. So the sorts of tax changes or tax rebates that we could contemplate would be capital gains tax, dividend withholding tax, rebates or incentives, because at the end of the day, you need to encourage the investor base to start investing. Now, we have recently introduced a number of rebates in fees to the SME market a couple of weeks ago. And while I think that goes a long way, what you really need to do is to stimulate the liquidity and the interest to invest. And so we do have a savings rate deficit in the country. And we did a lot 3 years ago with the tax rebates that were introduced but I think there's still a lot more that needs to be done.
From a regulatory perspective, there is a trend towards delisting at the moment. It's very much to do with the economy, but it's also been said, Pit Mouton was the most recent one on my radio show, bemoaning the amount of regulatory red tape that he's got to comply with. It's a balance. I'm aware the regulator has obviously got to respond to the Steinhoffs and the Tongaats of this world and ensure that investors, particularly minority and retail investors, are protected. How do you manage that balance to ensure that it's not overly burdensome and cumbersome for a smaller company to comply with regulation that a large listed entity would be able to just hive off to a compliance department?
So with Michael, with the advent of a lot of cheap money in the form of the Fed pumping money into the market since the GFC, you've seen private equity growing. What we have done on a regulatory level is, so the Altex, there are a number of regulatory benefits. So share capital on the main board is required to be 50 million, 2 million on Altex. Profit history, you have to have 3 years profit history on the main board, no profit history on Altex. Pre-tax profit, you have to have 15 million rand in on the main board, zero on Altex. So there are a number of benefits. What we are looking at doing is to try and bridge the very draconian or structured listed environment with the private markets. And looking, we are contemplating starting a potential private placement market, which provide standardized terms and conditions. It would provide a Amazon or Google-like platform, which could be like a Tinder dating connection between investors and startups, and potentially coupling that with much lower disclosure requirements, etc., and hopefully encouraging some tax breaks from the policymaker in order to try and stimulate this market. Historically, the structure of our economy has been built off large listed entities and, to a large extent, large dual listeds. Mm. You think about the SABs, the old mutuals, all of the large banks. Whereas in Australia, as we were saying, someone was saying earlier, a large part of that market is small and medium enterprises. So more than 60% of Australia's GDP is derived from small and medium enterprises. I believe the growth node for South Africa going forward will be in the SME enterprises. And it's really our job to try and enable that and to find a fit for purpose vehicle. Absolutely. That would encourage more of a buyer beware investor mentality.
Yeah, caveat emptor, as they say. Charles, that's really what a platform like Easy Equities has as one of its overriding purposes here. You introduced a fractional share ownership, you lowered the barriers to entry, and it is in South Africa an important conversation to engender ownership broadly. We hear transformation often being used by the government in a rather pejorative way. Transformation in this sense can really create a broader ownership and buy-in to markets and capitalism. And it's unfortunate in South Africa that we have to be even having that kind of conversation, but we do. If you read what some of the kind of alt-left think of capitalism, we really need to create an ownership in this economy, and this is one way to do it.
Yeah, and I just want to touch on, I mean, we talked about tax, but there is a tax mechanism already in the fact that tax-free savings accounts are tax-free. And that's a powerful and fast growing market segment. I mean, in our world, it's about 800 million of investor money. Now, there's very little coverage in the listed ETF space, which fits into tax-free savings account. In fact, there's no coverage in the listed ETF space. So, you know, perhaps we should talk to some of the ETF issuers about creating it so that we can list that inside inside the tax-free savings space, because I see that playing a much more meaningful role going forward, and we don't have to ask government for anything new. It's in place. On coverage, I think, you know, the point that was made earlier by a few is very real. And in other markets, you have these specialist brokers for small cap companies. And I think the South African broking market has got pretty lazy around, yes, it costs money to cover these, but if you are the specialist on a stock, you're going to get more flow on that stock than anyone else. And I think we need to encourage or even mandate or legislate that when a small cap comes to market, or an even smaller than a small cap comes to market, that they have to have specialist brokers that cover that stock, so that this information flow is regulated. And then those specialist brokers should also play a market making role, because we're doing some work with some small caps and trying to help them understand their liquidity constraints. And you've got 6-7% bid offer spreads on a small cap company. Now, if the first experience of an investor is he's down 7%, you're not going to do a lot. And again, I think we should look at what was created for the ETF market in establishing liquidity through market makers and putting market makers in place around these specialist brokers, so that we do provide some more liquidity, because the demand for small caps, so just give you some stats. 80% of our flow sits in 105 JSE listed stocks. That is very different to the JSE. I mean, I think 80% of the volume is in the top 40. So we've proven that the retail investor wants broader access to stocks, but the investor experience of buying those stocks is really poor because of the things that I've mentioned. Not enough information coverage, bid offer spreads not wide enough. When I want to get out, and I'm not getting out a lot of money, this is not an investor who wants to drop 10 million rand on, but someone who wants to get 2,000 or 3,000 rand in or out of a small cap, they've got across these ridiculous spreads. So I don't think we have to change a hell of a lot. We don't need anything from government. I think we've got to work closer with the exchange, closer with brokers, create some market making, closer with the ETF issuers. We've got to create a space for people like Keith to be able to list his products more easily inside a tax-free savings account. I know that my investors want access to his product. I can't put it in a tax-free savings space because I'm exchange only and I don't operate in the world of unit trusts. Yeah. So I think there's lots to do just for the people on this call to change that dynamic, because there is no demand problem. People want to own these companies. They want to own South African growth stories. They're not scared of it. And so I just think we just got to pull everyone together and have these kind of robust discussions and have some action points. Takeaways and do the things we say we're going to do.
And we certainly see that there's enough data out there for the retail investor to go out and do a whole lot more in terms of DIY investing. And that demand, as you spoke of, Charles, is self-evident. Just as we wrap up, Keith, what do you make of those proposals? And then Leila, to you, what are we going to commit to here? Let's commit to doing something, because this is really probably one of the most critical areas post COVID-19. We're going to have to see a lot more entrepreneurs coming to market, raising capital, and retail investors backing them. Keith?
So off the bat, all great proposals, all great angles, and I agree with all of them. I'd like to add some aspects to some of them. So the first one is tax-free savings accounts as a fantastic mechanism in South Africa. Why can't one invest in individual companies? That will not just provide liquidity, that'll provide appetite and allow brokers to go out there and generate brokerage, generate interest and the like. In order to solve the coverage problem of small caps in the market, particularly on the sell side, why are we not building some subsidization mechanism for sell side? So what I'm saying is, and later this is perhaps a role the JSE can do, is set aside a budget of say 5 or 10 million rand a year and go to all the registered brokers. If they cover small caps per report, per company, per this, per that, we will pay part of the cost of production of that. So where they cannot be compensated from a liquidity perspective, they can be subsidized. And in fact, you can even build in a transformational aspect to that. And we, and, you know, in 5 or 10 years time, we maybe have a legion of 20 or 30 top rated empowered analysts all over the market doing incredible things. So bring tax-free accounts to a granular broker level in individual stocks. Bring in a mechanism to offset the economics of sell side coverage of small mid caps such that it becomes more profitable to cover them. And then surprise, surprise, more people will cover them. And in fact, build into those mechanisms greater transparency in education. Education and awareness goes everywhere in terms of this market.
Which is why we're having this conversation today. Leila, I'll give you the last word.
Right. So I think there's three issues that we need to solve on the retail market. And Charles has done an enormous job in really opening up that market. It's access, it's pricing, and it's financial literacy on the retail side. I do think the tax needs to be expanded, the tax savings account concept. So tax savings accounts of 30,000 are applied to ETFs and money market, and we do need to expand that to individual stocks. I think there is a cost element whereby the retail brokers, it's very difficult to make money in that market because we just don't have the critical mass. And so the JSC does need to think about how we price for retail investors. Operationally, that is complex, but there are things that we're thinking about. We are also looking to bring to market a potential retail app, which would provide education and also an app for SMEs that would provide education, mentoring, guidance, and support.
Fantastic.
As I said, we are contemplating the private placement platform. And so there's a lot that the JSC is doing.
I'm going to have to stop you there because we have run out of time, unfortunately, but I love leaving a bit of powder dry. So we can invite you back and we can pick up the conversation from where we've left off. But thank you. Great pleasure to get your insights into how we broaden our capital markets. That was Leila Faree, Group CEO of the JSC, who was joined by Charles Savage, the CEO and founder of Easy Equities, Stefano Marani, CEO of Renegen, and small cap analyst Keith McLachlan.